Now, last year on the show, we spoke to author Carl Honoré about his book, Bolder, Making the Most of Our Longer Lives. It's all about rethinking our approach to ageing and working and retirement. And a lot of you will know Carl because of his international best-selling book, In Praise of Slow, extolling the virtues of slowing down in a hectic world. Well, 2 weeks ago, we got a text from a listener asking us what Carl Honoré's thoughts would be on the pandemic and lockdown, and we're all slowing down. And so we got in touch with Carl, and he's on the line. How are you doing, Carl?
Hi, I'm very well. Good to be with you.
This is a truly interactive programme. We take our listener suggestions and then we book guests. That's the way it works.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Okay, so In Praise of Slow is how many years ago is that? Is it 6 years ago?
Goodness me, no, it's 2004.
Oh, so right, 16 years ago. Sorry,
yeah.
I knew
there
was a 6 in it.
It keeps on going.
Yeah. So we've all had this enforced slowing down of our lives. So what do you think about it? You, the man who 16 years ago said we all should be doing it.
Well, I've always hoped we'd have a moment of reset, you know, when perhaps we'd even be forced to slow down. I certainly never wished a global pandemic upon us.
Yeah.
But what's happened, of course, is that we are all going through a worldwide boot camp in slow. And it's interesting to see what's happened because we're 6 months in, and we've spent, you know, 6 months, a half year, consuming less, spending less, polluting less, doing less. And I think a lot of us are discovering, often to our surprise, that this hasn't been the end of the world, that less is often more, and that there are some silver linings in this global slowdown.
Yeah, I suppose it's 6 months this weekend, isn't it? Because March the 12th is what we measure it by, because that's when the government announced that they were closing down the schools. So that's 6 months this weekend or thereabouts. And a lot was made of the fact that people were slowing down and that this could be a huge change in how we live our lives. I think, though, I get a sense that some people are suffering a fatigue now of some description. Or is it uncertainty of the future? I don't know what it is.
I think it's probably a bit of both of those things. And of course, there's, you know, this pandemic has brought us two kinds of slow, bad slow and good slow,
okay.
Right? So being having all of your wings snipped and forced to stay at home and maybe, you know, suffering economically, these are bad forms of slow. But in the other column, I think, the sort of, you know, the credit column, there are all kinds of good slow that we've discovered over the last few months. You know, many of us have spent more time just listening, just being with our families, with our nearest and dearest. You've seen a surge in slower, more soothing, relaxing activities, like, well, look at the baking of sourdough,
yes.
Boom. Reading has gone up again. Poetry sales are going through the roof. Board games, gardening, people turning to allotments and growing vegetables like never before.
Yes.
And I think that yearning for a slower gear was there before the pandemic, but the pandemic, in a sense, ironically, has accelerated the move to slow.
Yeah, and do you agree with that, you know, it takes 60 days to form a habit?
I do. I think if this pandemic and the lockdown and everything around it had lasted, you know, six days or even just 6 weeks, it would not have been enough. But I think 6 months has,
yes.
I think it's left some deep marks on people. You know, we've had enough time marinating in this new way of being in a world where we have actually a lot more, in some ways, a lot more control over our own time, our own rhythms. And we're finding that we really rather enjoy it. You know, we can choose when to work, how we work, what we do, when we do it, at what speed we do it. And we're finding that in many ways we're thriving, I think.
In an odd way, it's sort of contradictory, but we've more control but less control. In that we were told what to do, but yet we had more time to control what we did.
Yeah, and I think we're also in a transitional phase. And of course, there's so much rollicking uncertainty around that this is just not a good moment in so many ways. But I do think that we are starting to claw back control over our own pace.
Right.
I mean, if you think of the workplace, now people, when they're in the office, you get infected by other people's impatience, their hurry, their rush. You have to do things at the pace of everyone else. When you're at home, the only one who can see you is your cat or maybe your partner, right? And it's a whole lot easier to say, you know what, from 9 to 10 in the morning, I'm really good at the creative stuff. But
yes.
Then at 10, I need to kick back and maybe have a nap, right? And I think that control over our own rhythms, which lies at the core of this whole kind of slow culture quake, has been one of the unexpected gifts of the pandemic.
And I'd say there are people listening now who are working from home nodding and smiling and going, yeah. Like half 10 to maybe 11 o'clock is just a little nap on the couch
Yeah, just a little nap. I'm talking about a three-hour extravaganza.
If you call it a power nap, if you call it a power nap, it's productive. It sounds productive, yeah.
Exactly.
The last time we spoke to you was about your book, Bolder, and it was about making the most of our longer lives. A lot was made in this country of the fact that people 70 and over were made to cocoon, so they weren't allowed out of their houses at all for a long stretch of time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a good bit of blowback because there were people who were 70 who just felt they were being treated like children. And they felt that they were perfectly healthy. They wanted to get out and walk and do what they normally did, and they weren't being allowed to do that.
Exactly. I think what this has been is a reminder that of a deeper cultural change that's been coming down the pike for some time now, which is that chronological age is losing its power to define and limit us. So not all 70-year-olds are the same, just in the same way as not all 30-year-olds are the same. So it is infantilizing, and it is faintly absurd, I think, to take everyone with the same birth certificate, put them in one bag, and treat them the same way. And I think that will be one of the... We've seen a bit of blowback, but if governments double down on that, I think we'll see a bigger pushback, and it will fit with the broader rethink around aging, which is that people can be different at different ages, and it's all about giving people sort of autonomy and freedom and choice to define what 50 will be for them, 60, 70, 80, 90 even.
It's difficult for governments, though, because, you know, in a lockdown and an emergency situation, most laws and guidelines and rules are blunt instruments.
They are, yeah. Which is why I think the laws and the instruments should be suggestions rather than compulsion, so that you do leave some wiggle room for people to look at their own lives, consider their own personal health, their own circumstances, and as grown-ups make their own choices. There's another thing here as well, which is that I think the pandemic is another reminder of the divisions that have sprung up over the last few generations between the generations, the ages. You know, we often live in age silos. We mix very little with other ages, and I think that's allowed a kind of cult of youth to grow up in our society, and a feeling of almost, I don't know about revulsion, but just a kind of wanting to shrink away from older people because it's a reminder that we too will grow older. But in some ways, I think the pandemic is can be helpful in the sense that we are all in it together. And yes, even if we're not all in it in the same sort of way in 2020, if there's a new pandemic in, 20 years from now, today's 40-year-old will be 60.
Yeah.
And we'll be facing similar circumstances as today's 60-year-old. So I think it's another way of reminding ourselves that ageism, or buying into the cult of youth, is discrimination against your future self. It's a kind of self-harm in the long run.
Well, that's a perfect way to end our chat. So be warned, people. Ageism is prejudice against your future self. That's a great quote. Carl, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again. Is there a new book on the way?
Nothing in the works. No. A few ideas tickling away in the back of my mind.
You're taking your time.
Watch this space.
You're taking your time.
I'm coming at it slow.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Carl. Bye now. Bye.